And good morning, it's coffee time. Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It is February 15th, 2025. We welcome you. We'll be right back after this song.
There's a spirit in our land raising up the kind of man with a burning in his heart to be free. Like the preacher men of old, he can't be bought, he can't be sold. What did they preach? They preached liberty to a people who love their liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. To speak bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. They called the king into accounting for his disregard of law, told their people not to yield before his threats. For God established rulers to protect the rights of man and ordained government to fit into his plan to maintain his people's liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. We need such preacher men today to show our people the way to redeem their lost liberty. The fires of hell cannot prevail against one man who'll take a stand from the pulpit, expose tyranny, and teach his people liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, this jury says, not guilty, we choose to acquit. The state was wrong to charge him. This law is not fit for a people who love their liberty. For a people who will die for liberty.
And we're back, and it is coffee time. And we're coming to you live this morning, February 15th, 2025. And I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And let's start off with going to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning in this coffee time. We pray that we go the direction that we're supposed to go. We pray, Father, that we can be a blessing to the saints and a blow to the snakes. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us. We ask, Father, that you continue to do a mighty work in this land and that you turn the hearts of your people back to you, that they seek you first and foremost in your ways, and they put you ahead of all. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, there's a lot of things to talk about, and I don't know. There's so many things to talk about. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. One of the things that I thought was interesting, I ran across an article this week. I don't know if I ran across it or somebody sent it to me, but it was... But I was watching the Tucker Carlson show, And there was a lot of stuff that came out against about these Ukrainians that were selling all these weapons that were given from the U.S. over to Ukraine, and how they've started selling them to the drug cartels. And it was interesting enough because it just it seems like there's a lot of saber rattling going on between the U.S. and, you know, basically the drug cartels. It's almost like they have their own army set up.
Yeah, they've certainly got the funds. I mean, to be able to do it, it's interesting to see how that works. I mean, it's like, and I don't think it's any surprise to probably our listening audience some of that's going on. Do you?
No, not at all. And it made me, you know, think about, you know, that book, The War is a Racket, that we carry. And I mean, so much of that stuff is, I mean, right before our eyes. I mean, we're talking about billions and billions of dollars of stuff that we gave, you know, I guess common sense ain't very common anymore, but you'd think that it'd be common sense not to go ahead and give billions of dollars of your weapons to other countries in a time of war.
Yeah. Well, and I failed to see the whole motivation toward what's going on over there has just got us. I mean, when you really look at it and start and digging on it, it's everybody forgets the history of that region. And, you know, you look at it was just, what was it? Oh, just one dictator ago, they were out there just killing everybody, you know, kind of like the Bolsheviks did and everything in Ukraine. But nobody wants to talk about that. I mean, you know, it was like that was all. There's so much moral depredation and just evil morality goes on in those places sometimes. It's like, maybe we should just take care of home.
Well, exactly. I mean, the thing is if you or me wanted to go buy some of that stuff and we wanted it for sporting purposes or whatever you wanted, who cares? I mean, we're talking about giving billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine, and then they're turning around and selling it, making billions of dollars on it, funding our enemies. I mean, you know, just a bunch of garbage.
It's just been a moneymaker for the leadership in this land for how long? You know, the Obama nation set so much of that up over there, and the O'Bidens just followed suit, and it has. And it's coming out. That's the good thing, is that it's coming out that it's been a huge money laundering system. And yeah, just like you said, we've been funding our enemies, funding anti-American values and sentiment, not only over there, but all across Europe. And and it eventually that's going to come back and bite you in the butt. I mean, it just does. That's what it does. I don't know if they were funding our enemy or their enemy. I think they were funding their friends, who are our enemy, because there's a they and an us for sure. But I'm glad it's coming out. It is. The truths that are coming out are just astounding. And you know, for part of our people, I say that as a nation, to try to defend the graft and the stealing and the utter ridiculousness and stupidity of what's been going on. It's like some are finally waking up and going, why did we ever do that? Why send just millions and billions and billions into Ukraine? Just to keep fighting, That's all we've ever heard. Well, that's not really what was happening, was it? You had people over there that were reselling it to different cartels and different people, and everybody's making money on it, at least in those leadership positions. And now it's coming to light, so that's a good thing. I hope it continues to.
Well, there's a lot of things that are coming to light, and I'm excited about it. I got one here on my desk that says refugee revenue, U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, $455 million in grant awards. The federal government has outsourced the processing and care of refugees admitted to the United States to myriad of tax-exempt nonprofits and non-governmental organizations. These organizations are often religiously affiliated, such as the D.C.-based United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and it has been paid by the federal government to refuge resettlement services since 1975. And this is something that I learned about not that long ago. And the more that I looked into it, the more that it just, wow, it was like, you know, this Catholic Church is a cult, and it is aiding and abetting the enemy. And I didn't realize how much money that they spent into transporting illegals all across the United States. I mean, it's like, well, you'd think that this would be shut down, but it was they were running under, you know, Catholic bishops or Catholic charities or something, and it was, I'm sure that they got a dozen different names that they work with. But in 2019, they received $14.6 million. 2020, $20.2 million, 2021, $67 million, 2022, $122 million. We're not talking small numbers here. We're talking a lot of money. And I know that there's a lot of people that are upset about this DOGE and the, you know, basically the crackdown and the auditing of government agencies. But, I mean, that's been long overdue. I mean, you look at the billions and billions of dollars that are spent on just garbage. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, just wasteful, slothful, throwing good money after nothing.
It's beyond wasteful. Yeah. It's evil.
It is evil. Yeah. Yeah, it's evil and it's wrong. And, I mean, you think about all that money that we've wasted as a country over the last 5 years. If that money was here in the United States, it would have changed the United States drastically.
Well, I seen a little go by the other day there. One of the guys was saying, well, it stands to, if you just have a reasoning mind and you ask questions, he said, it's interesting that a lot of these politicians, quote unquote, that are in, he said, you know, they get $175,000 a year for 4 years. They go in, they're worth a few million dollars. They go in at the end of 4 years, they're suddenly worth $80 or $100 million. Where did the money come from? You know, I mean, it didn't just magically appear. I mean, it's like, anybody who works for a living or is trying to keep, you know, body, soul, and home together realizes, you know, there's always more month than there is at the end of the money. You know, I think Amos 5:12 talks about the fact that he says, I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe. They turn aside the poor and the gate for the right. There's many, and bribes are kind of a funny thing. We have multiple names for them in today's society. We call them kickbacks. We call them bribes. We call them, you know, selling things and making deals that aren't yours to make. And I think we see that kind of stuff going on, you know, all over the place. And it's becoming the revelations or the admissions that are coming out right now are just absolutely wild. I just seen an article on internet search trends in the Washington D.C. metro area, and in just the last few weeks, the number one searches out there are bleach bit, wipe hard drive, offshore bank, you know,
so criminal defense attorney.
Yeah. Things like that, you know. So that kind of gives you a little bit of a clue in of what's good. There's some people out there shaking in their boots, and they should be, you know. So I think that you're getting a lot of people there that are like, wait, did they just say, they said that? You know, so when we see those kind of things go on, we're like, it's good. It's it's waking people up. It's rattling cages. Things are falling out of the trees, so to speak, that are like nasty and wrong. And so I think that God is definitely moving the way God moves. So he's bringing it to light. What they did in the darkness and what they said in secret and all those kind of things are showing up.
They are being brought to light, and that's encouraging. I seen another one that, I mean, it's just like every day something is happening and it's changing, and it's almost like we're I don't know, like we're living in the Twilight Zone or something, because I mean, I seen the headline this morning, and it was, you know, President Trump dropping another hydrogen bomb on Big Pharma. And he is, what happened is he signed an executive order stripping all funds from all schools requiring COVID-19 experimental gene therapy vaccine injections. And there's still, I guess there's still quite a few schools out there. I don't know how many. I haven't seen a list recently, but a lot of schools, universities, places that are requiring you to have the jab if you're going to be, you know, part of this. And it's like, okay, you're going to do that? No funding for you.
I seen that too. And I was like, well, thank you. That's a good start.
Why do people think it's the government's job to fund anything? You know, it's just, it's not their job to fund anything. You know, everybody's got their hand out. And if you're in a stuff, if your gifts to your church are tax deductible, you're in a state run church, no matter what you think. You know, they're sleeping. The Bible says you're supposed to give your money secretly. Now, if you deduct it, it's not secret. You know, this whole thing is just Babylon. And that's all it explained, because it's so inclusive, it's just hard to find anything that isn't part of it. You know, the Bible talks about conspirators. Prophet, priest, and king are in it. So, you know, there you got it. The Bible talks about a conspiracy, and they're all in on it. You know, and when you step out, look at the crap you take from, you know, Hitler and whatever the heck you are, Nazi, and they label you, and, you know, then they destroy you. And, of course, people just believe anything they hear instead of looking into it. Now, if somebody does that to somebody to me, I think that guy's probably thinking, you know. But most people say, oh, you know, they just, he's a thought criminal, just get rid of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul, yeah, it sure seems that people are waking up, you know. It's a few more than it was before that are waking up to the very things that you're saying, you know, that are waking up to the Federal Reserve, that are waking up to, you know, why is the government doing this? You know, should the government do this? I hope that's the next question that they have. Seems like, you know, the people I see, they're asking questions. You know, they're saying, good, cut the fraud, cut this. So I hope they're waking up.
Well, the question is, how did they get along with it for so long? Because people have had their head where it shouldn't be, and they just accept it. You know, the Romans 13, you know, do whatever Caesar says, you know. And, that's what they're duped. You know, the government has nothing to give it and take from somebody else, or else create out of thin air. And that's what we're talking about, paper money made out of thin air, you know. And, I read, you know, in that book, Conspiracy, everything they told them is a lie. You know, FDR liked paper money because they could create money out of thin air and do whatever they wanted. And this didn't just happen, you know. Right. And George Washington had the same problem we have now, and how we fix it was a gold standard. And it fixed it, cleaned up so fast he couldn't hardly believe it. And see, these people are, you're getting certificates, and they're labeled to play a big game. It's like going to the casino, getting your chips and stuff, and they're able to play a big game at our expense. But the American people, have, you know, I've been ostracized for years, you know, but I think, you know, well, he's a thought criminal, you know. They're, you know, powerful men in the neighborhood were scared the crap of me. When I walk in, they go out the other door. And these people had millions of dollars worth of business going on. But they didn't like me because I stood up in that little room upstairs and I said, you know, but I paid the price, and it's a cheap price, actually, to find out that you're being deceived, you know, and you quit trusting in people. I don't care who he is. You hold him to the Bible. people get off your dead butt and read that book, and when he says something that don't make sense, ask him or put him on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people. Well, and I think that there is a lot of people that are doing that. I mean, you talk about the we've seen this increase in masculine Christianity that's coming around, and that's what's happening. And you know, you it's like the spell is being broken. We've talked about it for years about how, you know, there had to have been some kind of spell, sorcery, you know, something that was over people that was keeping them duped down. And I don't know. I guess it's like there has been a moving of the Holy Spirit, and the spirit in the land has changed and people are waking up. I mean, you've got people that are not just asking questions, but they're seeking out answers. They're researching different things. There's people that are buying books again. They're looking into topics. They're looking in, they're trying to look at their history. They're getting into health, and they're looking at regenerative agriculture, things that we've been talking about that people thought we were nuts when we were talking about it a couple years ago. So there's definitely been a shift. And I think one of the things is, you know, exposing, you know, this fake news for what it is and calling it what it is. And people realizing that, hey, you know, what they're there's been so many lies recently that have been exposed. And I think that's, you know, that's part of it. People are not as trusting as they used to be. And that's a good thing.
Amen.
Inquiring minds want to know. Yeah. You know, it's like, speaking of the regenerative agriculture thing, I was reading an article that, you know, Bureau of Labor Statistics and then the U.S., DA had put out, and they were talking about these upward prices on eggs and also, of course, beef, which they're like, well, forget eggs. Beef's really going through the roof. And there's less beef in production and being sold. The way that they track that under the Department of Agriculture is interesting, because these big places, they track the numbers of boxed beef buys and everything else. These corporations that buy that and sell to the grocery stores, they turn in their numbers, you know, same way with pretty much eggs, I would assume. But the point is I think what we're seeing, I was reading through that and I was like, wow, everybody I know here who raises cattle is actually, man, they're full. I mean, they got feeders running in there. They're feeding hard. They're a lot of them have changed the way they're doing it. But the point I'm getting at is these are the prices that we see in the standard system, the grocery store supply chain system, that they can track. What they're unable to track is the farm table, you know, market. And they don't like that. You know, they don't value your privacy at all. They want to know what's going on. And you're able to do that at a lesser price and higher quality by going that way. And as far as the egg thing now, of course, they're making some noise about, well, they want to register everybody's private flocks and all this and that, and it's all about control. It's all about you know, the data. I mean, it always makes me scratch my head when you look back and think about those things and look at them. It's like data, data, data. You know, we got to have the data, and it's like, and my response to that is privacy, privacy, privacy. It's none of your darn business. You know, it's like, so it's very. Why is it their job to manipulate or run that system, which is what they do? And the reason is just what we were saying earlier. They're making money off of it.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, it was. I had some farmers that came over from Kansas yesterday. They drove out. They got in the car yesterday early morning and drove out and visited us yesterday evening. And brought us some beef, and was talking with them. And he was telling me about the farming situation that's over there in Kansas. It's, you know, it's been, they've had 3 dry years that they've been in a real drought, and they dry land crops over there. So it's wheat, milo, and wheat, milo, millet. And they have farms for sale all over the place. And you know, I mean, I'm talking to them, and you know, these are people that farm a lot of ground, and they're you know, generational farmers. Their dads were farming. They AJ, he was in the military when he was you know, drafted. Him and his brother were both drafted during Vietnam, and then came back and went straight to farming and been farming, and their kids farm. And you know, it's talking to them, it's like, how can you make any money at $5, you know, a bushel of wheat? And you know, they're talking about the prices, historic prices, and we, you know, talked about it, and it's a sad deal because they, right now they've got 175 acres that they got to sell just to cover losses. And you know, we talked about the bankers and this and that, and you know, is what it boils down to is they know exactly they run these numbers, and they want those farmers just to be slaves to them. They take all the risk, and it's, you know, it's basically it's that what they are is slaves in a lot of way. It's sad.
Well, yeah, listen, God, say if you don't do it my way, you will be a slave. So we're a slave to the system. You know, they run all that ground and stuff like that, and they think they're big stuff. You know, and they bought into it a long time ago. Now it's biting them, and it's not that fun to get corrected. But that's what's going on. You take Gabe Brown, I'd read that book you sent me, Jason, I just love it, and he's advocating smaller farms. And with that guy that wrote the book, he went into Africa and dealt with people that had a little plot of ground, and you know, and it works on big acres and little acres. And but the thing of it is, if you do it God's way, you will be productive. You won't always have as much as you think you should have, but you will survive. And you know, it, the whole system is Taji, get bigger, get out, you know, and then people buy it. Well, it's kind of fun to get a nice big old tractor and stuff like that. But if you're buying it with cash, that's one thing. But if you're buying, you're getting it on a loan, that's a fool. So we're all guilty of buying into this dang dual system.
Yeah. Well, that's what they were telling me, that some of those farms, you know, it used to be these farmers were farming 500 acres a week, and now they're farming 2,000 acres a week. I mean, just, you know, crazy.
Because they can. They got equipment. They can. When they had a horse and plow, they couldn't do that much.
No, they couldn't. You'd have to have a lot of horses.
Well, and we've also run into things like, you know, these property taxes have continued to aggressively rise, and it's... there's a lot of overhead that has come into that. And, you know, I think sometimes I have a real feeling of sadness in my heart for some of these guys. Like you say, they're multi-generational people. I know some here. And things have just gotten more and more expensive until even some of the multi-generational people that are good farmers and were given their land have they continue to put them further and further under this yoke of bondage. And it's like, you know, there's limits to what we can produce. There's limits to how much we can farm. And some of the other items that, and I grant you in my mind, I see the fact that sometimes people get in the way of, well, it'd really be nice to have that big shiny piece of equipment or that super, super big combine. Think of the time it would save. But, the expenses continue to go up, fuel prices, insurances that are required, which granted you don't need maybe under certain circumstances. But the point is the educational factor is the same way. You get into the ag schools and the like, and I don't even know if some of these ag schools are teaching people to farm anymore. What they're really teaching them to do is how to fill out government paperwork to get their loans and their incentives and stuff. It's like so it's interesting.
Yeah,
it's interesting, pretty loose there. Yeah, interesting. I don't know if it's interesting or not, or else disgusting might be the best word.
Well, it's frustrating, there's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, it's trying to find the way through and make it all happen for him. I feel for him sometimes.
Well, yeah, you know, the Bible says you will not buy or sell without the mark of the beast. You know, that interview that John Rich had with Tucker said that, and he said the preachers are not preaching us. He says that's criminal, and it is, because, you know, that word is true. And you see what, and I see what's going to happen. You're going to find out if you got faith or not. What's it going to boil down to? You can, you know, cave in and go with the system, or you can resist to the end. You know, and I hope I have a, what it takes to resist to the end, because it's not a person that's not going to affect. And I think that's not far away.
Yeah, I think I think we're getting closer and closer. And and that's what we encourage people to do is be close to God and, you know, have that faith that we need to have. You know, don't look at the seen, look at the unseen. How many times have we heard that? It is exciting. It's encouraging. I mean, I see that so many things are changing, and, you know, encourage people, don't let your guard down. Now is the time to, you know, be on guard. We got so many things that are happening. Be aware, be alert of things that are happening. And
well, it certainly appears that the establishment we have at the moment is standing its ground. But the Bible says, curse the man is trust in man. So don't put too much faith in this whole thing. And I sure hope they're right onto it. But I don't think it's going to get easier. I think that we are going to find out who we serve. It's just like the lady that and her son, they fed the prophet, and then her jar never went empty. And that's what God can do for us, and we got to stand on that.
That's for sure. Well, and I see a lot of people that are doing things. I mean, I'm encouraged by seeing people that are wanting to start businesses and that are starting businesses, are being successful, that are working hard. And is what I've noticed too is a generation of people that are working harder than they have, getting off their butts and getting something done. I see that. We've had several things that have happened around here where people they've been told for their, oh, you can't do that. You can't start a business. You don't have the overhead. You don't have, you know, you're going to have to get so much money in financing. And you just, you know, always being told you can't do this, you can't do that. And, you know, people are saying, hey, you know what, this is what I want to do. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try to figure out a way to do it. We've had butcher shops that are opening up. We've had greenhouses that are opening up around here, new automotive shops. And a lot of these people are just young people that, you know, you could say that maybe they don't really know what they're doing, but they're trying. And they're like, hey, I'm gonna make something happen. I'm going to do this. And they're doing it, and they're being successful. And I think that, you know, that is, you know, it takes a step of faith to be able to do that. But I'm encouraged by it because I'm seeing a lot of it. And I'm seeing, you know, that I really think that God is blessing them and blessing the labors that they're doing. And trying people that are trying different things. I mean, people that are trying different, that are homeschooling their children and trying to give them a better education than they would have in the public school system. And there's a lot more people that are calling it the public school system and realizing that they don't want this indoctrination. And so, I mean, there's just a lot of things that are going on, but we, you know, we need to stay focused. Like you said, Paul, just stay focused and, you know, put our trust in the Lord and in no man. It's, you know, he's the one that's guiding our paths. And, you know, we pray every day. I think that it's, you know, it's so important for us to pray for wisdom and knowledge and understanding every day. And I think now is more important than ever to be praying that.
There is no interest payments on sweat equity. And that's what you're talking about.
Very good point. Yes, exactly.
You know, back when I was young, you know, I could walk on water. At least I thought I could, you know. You just couldn't stop me. And it wasn't all right either. But and when you're young, you have that youth. And when you get old, things change. And we need the youth, and I hope that what we're dealing with is all the people under 20 that get to go into the promised land, because the people that raised them really ain't very trustworthy.
Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey, good morning. This is Kevin in Ohio.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, a couple of these Israeli news things I've noticed. Did you see anyone see there the former Israeli defense minister went on an interview, and he mentioned that during that October 7th event that they enacted the Hannibal decision. Did anyone see
that? I did not.
Yeah, that's a decision where that if any of your men are taken hostage or prisoner, you're to kill them, and civilians too. Any civilians that were being taken for hostage were to be killed. So they were killing their own people. It figured in to 300 or 400 of the deaths that they reported.
Wow.
And then secondly, did any of you notice that they've now formed a Jewish caucus in Congress to fight anti-Semitism? Did any of you see
yes,
that?
Yes, I did.
I did see that.
Yeah. And then lastly, can I ask too, Jason, any more development on the radio station?
No, I have not. I know that they're working on it, but that's all that I've heard. I know that they had some parts that they had. They thought they had a tube problem. They sent it to Texas, and it got shipped back. They installed it, and they were still having some issues. So it looks like they were shipping some tube sockets off. And we're not talking about little tubes. We're talking about tubes that are... Yeah. Oh, about the size of a 55-gallon drum. Not quite that big, but big ones. So they had to bring some people in to disassemble that, and that's all I know. It's kind of one of those things. I don't understand it exactly, but I understand kind of what's going on.
Well, thank you. And then lastly, this would be a good time to buy a cheap house in Washington, D.C., now that all those people are getting I'm not moving there.
All right, Kevin, thanks for calling. You have a good one.
Big one. So,
and the phone number to call in is 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. Yeah, this Hannibal directive, I did not know anything about that. But it says the Hannibal directive... Also translated as Hannibal Procedure, Hannibal Protocol is the name of a controversial procedure used by Israel Defense Forces to prevent the capture of Israeli soldiers by enemy forces. According to one version, it says that the kidnapping must be stopped by all means, even if the price of striking and harming our own forces. It was introduced in 1986 after a number of abductions of IDF soldiers in Lebanon. Interesting.
Wow, kind of a friendly fire scenario, except not so friendly.
Well, you know, we were talking about they want to document and control everything, you know. Doesn't the Bible say you who digs a pit will fall in it? You know, all this documentation is coming against them right now. They kept documents of everything.
Yes.
And now it's being used against them. And, you know, I just thought of this. It looks to me like that could be the issue.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the old saying in programming or anything in computers is garbage in, garbage out. See, so they want to make sure that they have the most up-to-date, accurate data that they can get so that they can output for their plans in a correct way. So whenever that's hampered by, you know, when God puts a hamper on that, why they just have garbage coming out, which as far as some of us are concerned, it's all garbage anyways. But, they're looking at their plans and the net that they're weaving, their net.
Yes. Derek wrote in and he said, but the good news is here's what God says. God protects those who are his. Job 5:20. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine you shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. Praise the Lord. Good scripture. Thanks, Derek, for sharing that.
Amen. You know, Paul, when you mentioned that hopefully this generation will be the ones that make it,
that make it through. And I hope that there's some of us of this generation that we're in that are like Jacob and like Caleb that make it into the promised land. That are, you know, the Bible says they had a different spirit. They trusted, you know, and that's what it was. They believed God's word and they trusted it and they lived their life that way. Everybody around them was dying. You know, there are people that didn't trust in God, but that was a choice they made. And I think that's what we're seeing. Like you mentioned, Jason, the people that are starting businesses, that are, you know, doing, not sitting back waiting on the government to do it for them, but that are out there doing and going and trying. And I agree, God blesses that. I really think he does. But I hope that, I hope that there's many that will read that story and see that, they have a different spirit than the world, than everybody else around them. And that spirit was they trusted God. And that sure seems to be a common theme of, you know, whether it's callers or people that write into the ministry or people we talk to and what we read is that's, you know, you said it, Paul, we don't trust in man. We see that God is using man to wake people up, to bring people back to God. It's not just to make, you know, more people, Republican or to make more people, you know, want to follow Trump that's not what it is. It's to awaken people to the problems that have been there. You know, I liken it to we're in a deep hole. This nation is, we're in a deep hole. And, you know, the first thing you got to do when you find yourself in a hole is stop digging. And that's what I think that's what these people are doing right now is they're stop digging deeper in the hole. And then to get out of the hole is going to be hard and it's going to be dirty. It's not going to be easy. And I think that's what we have ahead of us if we're going to get out of this hole that we're in. And it certainly is. It's going to be a lot easier turning to God. That's the only way we're going to get out. Back to him, back to his word.
Well, I think that every one of these cottage industries, small businesses that are coming up, they are not inside their curve or their analytics or whatever. And what we get from those is each one of those individuals is they have a heart. You know, they put their heart into it. They're trying to build something for their children, for their people, for their communities. And I think, we see direct farming, we see cottage industries, in these small businesses. I mean, and they fight back. They don't give up their privacy easily. They don't just lay down and get backed over. I mean, even this whole food deal out there in Pennsylvania with the Amish, I mean, that was coming from the Amish, that was a pretty big, you know, they were battling them. I mean, I was like, wow, because they don't usually like to participate in those sorts of things. But when we see a lot of these things going on, and, you know, we were told to occupy. So it's part of our duty.
It is. And we got a caller on the line. We'll go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Yes, I watched a YouTube video yesterday called Wake Up, and it's on the Christian Remedy and Law channel. And it speaks to what you're speaking about. And I think one of the most important things that Pastor Peters brought us was his presentation of Harold Freeman in 1991 that speaks to what you're talking about, where the original law was diluted with public policy. So when we consider this, especially what I'm talking about with Harold Freeman, we see that the scripture speaks to the living and the dead who shall give account. And the idea there is where it says, let the dead bury the dead. that's where we contract into their private Federal Reserve system. So I just wanted to bring that up, that it brings new light to the scriptures. Who are the dead, meaning contracting and corporate policy, or using the all caps name, all, you know, whatever you want to look at. But Pastor Peters brought that to the fore, and there are others that have carried that torch forward, so we can see the scriptures for what they are. All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Good point.
Yes.
Well, there's definitely a dichotomy there. You know, there's the hellish dichotomy of Satan and his minions that roaming about like a lion. And then there's God's way of doing things. And they are diametrically opposed, different systems.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I've been going through some of the archives recently, and I found a couple more videos that Howard Freeman did years and years ago, and started running them in. I actually started running one in, working on one yesterday, and I'll tell you what, some of these stuff I had one that I was working on, and it was a Jack Moore video, and my son, 14 years old, he came in my office, and he was sitting down there, and had some stuff going on, and he's like, can I watch this? And he wanted to watch it, and there is so much truth that these people were bringing out. Pastor Peters, Jack Moore, Earl Jones, I mean, we were definitely gifted and blessed with being able to know these men and be able to have these archives and to continue to learn from them. The Jack Moore message that I have for tomorrow for church is it was like it was being preached for the things that we are seeing happening in America today. And he was talking about the dangers of these immigrants and these illegal aliens that are coming in. And he could see it way ahead of time, and as he's preaching, I don't know how old this message was, it looks like it was about 30 years ago, but it looks like he was reading the headlines and preaching it to us for today. And I mean, it was just awesome, and I'm really encouraged by it, and I hope it means as much to people as it did to me. Because it really hit a heartstring with me, and it was just awesome. And I mean, I know that, you know, timing's perfect and finding this stuff and being able to put it together and the new technology that is available, you know, to be able to, one of the things is it's been, a blessing is some of this new technology. I had a pile of VHS tapes that the audio was so bad on that could not play them just because of, you know, of the distortion. And it's because they were old. And now with this new technology available, I'm able to take the audio off of these VHS tapes, run it through a computer, clean it up, and make it where you can understand it again, and then put it back with the video and play it. So that's it's kind of I'm learning it, but and it's kind of an experiment, but that's what I got for church tomorrow, and I think that I think it's going to be really awesome.
Me too. We'll let you know. Well, and I was talking to my son-in-law the other day, and he said, well, you know, the Bible's just all contracts, a lot of contracts in there. And it's like, yes, well, they try to violate our contracts with God all the time, that third party, you know, trash that they pump in there. And we definitely see that going on.
Yeah. Well, we are wrapping up. We are about out of time. Anybody have any closing thoughts?
No, not really. We've discussed it. it is interesting times. You know, what you're talking though about technology, we get dazzled with technology and we lose the basics. You know, I'm not underestimating what you're going to do, because that's great, because some really good stuff come out of those guys. But today, people are felt so helpless because they don't understand technology. And I'm no computer whiz or nothing like that, I'll tell you that. But there's people that just rely on that. Now, the other day, I see where a computer went bad in one of the casinos, and it affected more than one, but they had to shut down because they just couldn't operate. Now, that's a really blessing if you think about it, but God can do that to this whole thing. You know, with all this technology we hang on, we got to learn to walk again and be simple. And simplicity never is old.
No. No, and it's one of those things. I mean, I think that the technology, it depends on how you use it. It's like anything. I mean, it can be used for good or it can be used for evil. And, you know, I'm happy to be able to use some of it for good, because there's so much of it and so much of the world that's out there that's using it for evil purposes.
I'm not criticizing you at all. But, you know, Pastor Peter said, you know, they took the TV, we're going to get them the computer too, and that's true. Just think what the TV could do for this nation if you'd put good stuff on it. I mean, it's all set up.
Exactly.
To go through the whole world.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And one of the things that I hate is all these dang computers on these tractors and on all these vehicles, because, man, I mean, one of the first things that you got to do is when you're trying to work on something. It used to be a mechanic actually had to do some work to try to figure out what it is, and I've seen so many problems right now that it's just, oh, it's a computer problem. It's a computer problem. It's, you know, a sensor problem. You know, the sensors are connected to the computer, and they're telling them that there's a problem. Even if there isn't a problem, the sensor is the problem. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just crazy.
I think it comes back to that control.
I had a pinch wire in my windshield. I had a pinch wire in my windshield one time. It was from the manufacturer, and finally it broke through. Well, it cost me $1,000. The computer was telling the right thing, and it was in that wire, but to find where the problem was the thing. But it cost me $1,000 to find it, but we finally found it. Like I said, they could work good or bad, you know, and when they're working, they're great.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you, men, for being here this morning. Thank you, Remnant, for being joining us here on Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Remember that our website is www.scripturesforamerica.org. And, again, that message we're going to have by Jack Moore tomorrow is a new one. We hope you join us for that. And adios.
and never.